would be usual for a priest to give a homily at the funeral mass from the lectern. Somebody put the notes. Perhaps giving the spoken words some dignity or formality. And today we're positioned for the camera so that we can be united with those who are watching in different parts of the world, participating in different parts of the world. So it would be usual to use a lectern as we present to God Leonie's CV. It's kind of what we do at a funeral, isn't it? We're saying to God, she's qualified, here are all the reasons, and we tell the life story. But I can hear Leonie say, John, there's a lectern down here, and it's holding my earthly remains until the day of resurrection and God's kind keeping. So use this lectern today. And so, Leonie, I will. So now you understand why I'm happy to use Leonie's coffin as an emblem. Because, and I can hear her say this, communication is about using words and presence to build bridges. Ultimately, bridging, as we do today in this funeral mass, the distance that we so often feel and even maintain between ourselves and God. I went to bed last night with a fairly complete homily for today. It needed just a little tweaking, but it was ready. It was crafted enough and appropriately filled with bits of poetry and prose, which is how God used Leonie to bridge the distance between the divine and the banal. Understanding, as Leonie did, that in the mind of God, all literature, language, is an instrument, so that there need not be any distance. Since all art is the work of those who, whether they acknowledge it or not, are seeking to know the divine. And so last night, with my printed text ready, I went to bed, and then woke up this morning with the sense that that text was not the text for today. It wasn't the homily. I could say that this thought was from Leonie, but I suspect that somehow Leonie got the ear of Pope Francis, the one who, as Pope, wears the title Pontifex, which means bridge builder. Francis, who a couple of days ago gave an extraordinary and masterful reflection, which Leonie could have written, and which today led me to a complete reframing of my musings. Francis spoke about the importance of three things: freedom, creativity, and dialogue. Freedom, creativity, and dialogue. I've learned a lot from Leonie about freedom, about creativity, and about dialogue. I learned it too from Dante Alighieri, who died 700 years ago this week. Because Dante communicated and Leonie understood that sometimes the way up, the way to paradise, is to go down. Before we go up, we go down. It involves a journey. This life we share involves a journey that seems to be in the wrong direction. The way up is down. The way to heaven is the path through hell. And the one who has made this journey will emerge as one who is truly free, uniquely creative, and capable of dialogue. That's different for every person. Since there are many rooms in the home of God, there is no formula, and even the forms are flexible and often fleeting. We are born as originals, but tragically, most of us die as photocopies. Leonie, as a 20-year-old, seeking God in 1950, was wise to follow her heart. Her attraction to God leading her to the tried and tested forms and formulas of religious life. A religious life within the church. But there she soon discovered, even if she didn't understand back then, that the freedom, creativity, and dialogue which her faith told her were the ultimate evidence of the presence and activity of God were more often than not unwelcome in a religious order and in a church in the middle years of last century. There's no blame or accusation here because we're all on the pathway to growth. Therefore, the only healthy response to denial of freedom, repression of creativity, and inflexibility of structures The only healthy response is to become, as others see it, unwell. Such breakdown is really much more of a waking up. And until a person lives through this shadowy night, they remain a good religious person, rather than a faithful and mature disciple of Jesus Christ, capable of embracing the height and the depth of abundant life. Some of the greatest poetry and prose and art and music of all time has come from this place in the depths of the human heart. Leone found kindred company in terrible sonnets written by the Jesuit Hopkins a century earlier. No worse there is none. Pitch past pitch of grief. Comforter, where is your comforting? Mary, mother of us, where is your relief? But there is hope, always hope. Not a nostalgia, simply a wish that things were tidy as they once were, but a hope that, while not magically extracting us from our suffering, gives us the even greater relief of providing meaning and enabling intimacy in the midst of, not escaping from, but in the midst of turmoil and tension. We hear it again in Hopkins, crushed. Generations have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil. Then the hope, to conflate a couple of Hopkins poems, oh, morning at the brown breath eastward springs, because the Holy Spirit over the bent world broods with warm brace and with bright wings. The only understood that a world without the suffering that yearns for salvation would be a world without the art, music, literature, and poetry that is the fruit of these endurances. Of course, Leone was no masochist. She didn't wish for suffering for herself. She didn't like it when she saw it in others. But since she was on the journey of growing to know God, and because as a small child she had been introduced to the crucifix, the suffering, dying, and then dead Saviour, she knew that as long as she stayed with the Saviour, she would also be carried to the life beyond that she yearned for and she sought. That is what it means to know God and to be known by God. Leone knew that life is not a tragedy where dramatic figures pose and orate and end up dead and gone. No, life on earth is not but tragedy. Instead, life on earth is a comedy, as the Greeks understood it, where regular people like you and I and Leone muddle through complex and confusing routines and demands, leading to a new era, glorious beyond our imagining. And Leone's Saviour came to her in the most unlikely forms. Through suffering, yes. Through the wise mentor who took the time to listen to her, to dialogue, to be creative with possibilities, leading her to a freedom that launched her into a new era of life. That's when I met Leone, a year or two into this new era, teaching her much-loved speech and drama students in an upstairs room in the old St. Mary's in Colombo Street. As I arrived for my sessions, I'd often meet another student, departing, sometimes parent and child, and I never knew which of the two of them was the student. At other times, I'd run into a university student rushing from an hour with Leone to rugby practice or to get dressed for a date. What a diverse and rich world God had led Leone to. Then, one day, Leone had the bright idea to bring her young adult students, including me, together so that, as well as our AT and LT exams, which we were also already a bit stressed about, she would get us to together do a grade 8 choral speaking exam while the Trinity Examiner was in town. We'd never heard of choral speaking. Surely that was an oxymoron. I will never forget the look on the face of the examiner, Maureen, when our group of young adults filed into the room. dressed sharply in black and white, then launching into a 10-minute performance of the opening of that classic of South African struggle. There is a lovely road that runs from Isopopong into the field, into the hills. These hills are grass covered, and they are rolling, and they are lovely beyond any single word. As we performed, I knew that Leone was thinking not of South Africa, but of the lovely rolling and grass covered lands of Leone, Central Otago, Mackenzie Country, Western. And watching the examiner Maureen's response to her students was Leone. Maureen, who I'm sure was as surprised as Alan Clayton would have been, yes, by the fact that an aging, religious sister with limited mobility could muster the presence and passion of such a diverse group. But even more, it was clear that Leone loved her students. Yes, she loved us, and we loved her. A few years ago at the Bishop Lyons public speaking competition, Leone and I happily ran into each other again. It was a significant moment for her, exactly 70 years since she was a participant in the very first Bishop Lyons speaking competition in 1945. Now, Leone was adjudicating the scripture reading, as she was often called on to do. Before naming the place guest, she was called on by the rector of the host college to say a few words. Justin suggesting that Leone's words should be bottled so that future generations could benefit from her wisdom. Leone began her response telling the young people that their weekend had mostly been about their words in debates and speeches. She said, "The scripture reading section of this weekend is different. When you read the scriptures, you are reading God's word. You are allowing God to use your mouth to speak God's words. It's not about your words at all. This is God's word that you are speaking. You are doing a beautiful thing for God." When the word of God is spoken aloud, effectively, through preparation, audibility, and ministry, this word has the power to change people. Faith of everybody in the room is increased, even though we may not be aware of this increase. After hearing the word of God, we leave the room changed. In this way, in a contest such as the Bishop Lyons public speaking event, who's placed first and second or third is minor. What is of ultimate importance is that this weekend, through our words and actions, we have come to know God more intimately. Leone concluded in the scripture test chosen for the occasion, which brings us back to her life motto. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Leone, God has used you to teach us much. You have been our companion on the journey. Our hearts are filled with gratitude. There is sadness in our parting, but we now, with great joy, give you into God's kind keeping. As together we press on to know the Lord who comes to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. Together now we press on, following Leone's example, to know the Lord.